Good morning, friends, brothers, and sisters. My name is David Yip. I'm one of the elders here, and my day job is a family physician in Edmonton. It is my utmost honor to be able to share God's word with you, and I want to thank Pastor Henry for giving me this opportunity. I also thank Pastor Stan for giving me this freedom to speak on the book of Romans, as he's been preaching a series on Romans for the last few months. So when we start, let's bow down our heads and ask God for our time together. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for receiving our worship. You're worthy to be praised. May we continue to focus on the cross and let your words speak to us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, how are you this week? Good? So-so? Or kind of tough? Everybody's good. Oh, that's awesome. So we want to see if God's word can really encourage us today also. Now, David Brooks, a columnist in the New York Times, he introduced an idea about human development by the four kinds of happiness. The lowest kind of happiness is material pleasure, having nice food and clothing and a nice house. One level up is achievement, the pleasure we get from earned or recognized success. Thirdly, there is general activity, the pleasure we get from giving back to others. Finally, the highest kind of happiness is moral joy, the glory and satisfaction we get when we have surrendered ourselves to some noble cause or unconditional love. Today, we're looking at a verse that talks about the flip side of happiness. The title of my sermon is, When Followers of Jesus Face Adversity. And the key verse is Romans chapter 12:12. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. So this morning, if you allow me, I want to propose that only by surrendering ourselves to the one who is unconditional love that we can experience pure joy. We can shut that slide off already. Life is fraught with surprises. The more we want to control it, the more surprises and frustration will be. I belong to four small groups. We meet in different times of the month. In our groups, we talk about the fragile economy in Alberta that caused much uncertainty in many of our careers. Positions in the past that would have been untouchable are now under harsh review. Another main topic is health, as with people we see, we know, relatives or friends, or even ourselves, having to deal with surprising illnesses, the dreaded word of cancer, or just plain aging. Getting old comes with aches and pains, forgetfulness, and loss of independence. More than one patient have told me, get old sucks. I remember seeing a patient in my office, a mild-mannered gentleman in his late 80s, and he came with his relatives who want to ask me to dissuade this friend, this gentleman, and from being able to drive because of objective evidences. When he heard the prospect of giving up his license, his face turned red, put his head down, swore underneath his breath, and bolted out of the room while slamming the door behind him. He wanted to shut the reality out of his life. I remember my close friend in school. He got married, had a healthy child, but later discovered the child had had a genetic disorder. The couple of Christians, they worked so hard, trying to make life tolerable for each other. But after a few years, they resigned to divorce. Money was not the issue. Achievement was not the issue. Giving to others was not the issue. When I asked why, the answer was, things happen. Then silence and a lot of tears to follow. Now, many of the young people here are busy with the final cramming for exams. It's painful, believe it. I know how it feels. Yet the uncertainty of jobs and career is even a bigger concern. When job applications are rejected, careers put on hold, relationships also are tested and may have to put on hold for a long time. Now, today's key verse has three action phrases as commanded by the Apostle Paul. These are three actions so simplistic yet so hard to do, because when things happen, when adversity strikes, we automatically tend to look down. But this verse, Paul wants us to look up. Now, hope in the English word primarily means wishful thinking. I hope things get better at work. I hope I've studied the answer to the exam questions. But the biblical hope is referring to the object of trust, because we can know something with absolute certainty. It talks about the return of Christ as our blessed hope. Joy is not happiness. Happiness is when there is the fulfillment of circumstances. We're happy when good things are happening. We're unhappy when circumstances change. By contrast, joy is unaffected by circumstances and is rooted in hope. Things may be difficult and circumstances may be tough, but our hope doesn't change. My mom went through a tough time in the last 2 years of her life. She had kidney dialysis 3 times a week, she had multiple infections and complications. Many times when I visited her in the hospital or long-term care facility, she was restless, exhausted, and in pain. As I prepared to visit her, I remember these verses in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 to 17. Therefore, do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are renewed day by day. From our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far awaits them all. My mom and I share these words that give us hope and peace. Look upwards. Next, we're commanded to be patient in affliction. Patient is a word used many times in the New Testament. Original language is a compound word. Hupa means to be under. Meno means living with stress and diversity. It's a word picture of the weight of the world being carried on our back. Now, let me just qualify. This is not the burden we carry because of our laziness or carelessness. We should carry those burdens as a consequence of our action, and we learn from that. These are burdens like a spouse who's suddenly struck by illness of the nerves that cause her to gradually lose balance and also lose the command of basic bodily functions. That can last for years as major stress for the family and herself. These are burdens when emotional roller coasters of our children can cast a dark shadow over peace and quiet of our homes. We can go from one waiting room to another for answers, but ultimately the family have to endure that. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, it says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, I will give you rest. Take this yoke upon you and learn from me, from gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your soul, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now, my wife and I, Garland, we have been married for 30 years. This year is our 30th anniversary. Wow. We don't know how we did it. We're so different. You know, just the other night, I was joking with Garland and say that she has spider sense. She's so sensitive, so aware of people around her.
And then her comeback was that I have rhino sense. No, that's enough said. So she's intuitive and creative as I'm logical and obsessed with structure. She likes to care for people while I like to correct people. Now, you can know that this is just a recipe for disaster and affliction. Yet God put us together, and we have never been happier. We have our fair share of arguments. No, not arguments, but passionate discussions. So when we try to make up, this is how we usually go in that scenario. The rhino sense person will ask for forgiveness and hoping that the spider sense person will grant mercy. It usually has a happy ending as we learn to be humble like Jesus. We develop patience with each other. Look upwards. The last phrase, faithful in prayer, is a tough command. Tough command. When we come to the end of our ropes, when all human efforts fail, we seek supernatural resources to help us. Faithful in prayer is a picture of people who go before the throne of God regularly, asking God to do in the life of others what no human power can accomplish. Let me repeat that again. Faithfulness in prayer is a picture of a person who go before the throne of God regularly, asking God to do in the life of others what no human power can accomplish. We went with five Christian pastors, couples, to our North African vision trip. We get along very well because we had similar seasons of life. As we know each other, we found out 4 out of 5 couples have adult children who have run away from the faith, from God. Children abandon the faith. Just imagine the pain and the sorrow shared with deep empathy. The pastor's wife said, "Our children definitely bring us to our knees." In Job 16, 19 to 20, it says, "Even now my witness is in heaven, my advocate is on high. My intercessor is my friend, but as my eyes pour out tears to God, as we lift our children up to God, tears naturally flows. Isaiah 25, verse 8, "In the last day," it says, "on this mountain, the sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces." Friends, some answers to our faithful prayers may not come in our lifetime, but it will come for sure in God's time. You know, all these pain and affliction and heartaches, actually they're not there to punish us. So then you ask, what are they for? Now let me explain the context of Romans 12:12. I won't go into details, but suffice to say that Romans 12:12 is in the second section of the book, and it's called the application portion, the practice portion. What we read in chapter 12, verse 3 onwards, they're the application part. So be joyful, be patient, and pray sounds like responsibilities, harsh responsibilities, but actually they're not. Rather than responsibilities, they are responses. Responses to the merciful and wise God. Why? Paul described this amazing God in chapter 1 to 11. The first 11 chapters are theories that provide a solid base for the practice. Chapter 1 to 5 talks about the holy and just God witnessing decline of human beings through the slippery slope of sin, both Jews and non-Jews, everyone. Everyone. The only way out is God's Son Jesus, whose innocent death can pay for our collective sin. Chapter 6 to 8 tell us not only we declare sinless if we believe, we grow in faith by Holy Spirit within our lives. Then chapter 9 to 11, Paul expounded on the magnanimous mercy and wisdom of God, who ultimately, at the end times, will bring salvation and joy to both Jews and non-Jews that acknowledge Jesus as Savior. Now, this is why Romans 12:1 start off with, therefore, in view of God's mercy, God is merciful, wise, and just. He's reaching out unconditionally to all mankind to provide for us the only way to have relationship with our Creator. Now let's pause and go back to Romans chapter 12, verse 9 to 13. So how can we practice love, devotion, honor, keep our passion, joyful in adversity, and hospitality? How can we do that? It's because of chapter 12, verse 2. What does it say? It says, Christians, allow our minds to be transformed, changed from that of the secular world, so that we can find out what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. So you ask, what is this good, pleasing, and perfect will? The answer is in Romans chapter 8, verse 28 to 29. It says, as we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, for those who have been called to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son. Now, many times we quote chapter 8, verse 28 as a comfort for those who face this tragedy. Sometimes we make it sound like a resignation of our fate. But that's not what it says. What it says here, that things happen in order to mold us, to change us, to be Christ-like. Jesus was wise. He lived with eternity in His heart. Jesus was strong, resisting the devil with God's word. Jesus was gentle, empathizing with the mercy of a healer. All these things happen in our lives so that we can become more like Christ. We can reflect the glory of God for others to see. Last fall, I've been riding my bike in the summer and put my bike rack to a good use. So after Wednesday night prayer meeting, I told my buddy that my bike rack may have saved me a few speeding tickets because it blocked the license plate, so that the photo radar couldn't get to it. Aha. 4 days later, Sunday morning, I visited my dad at China Town Care Center. After a pleasant visit, I drove to church and for worship. I went south on 149th Street and turned right to enter White Mud Drive. I was just cruising along. And suddenly, I looked in the rearview mirror. I saw this white Ford truck, lights flashing, and I just changed lane and hopefully let him pass, but he didn't. My heart was pounding as I slowed down and stopped around 183rd Street, White Mud. The policeman stayed in his truck for a long time before he came and asked for my license plate, my license and the registration. He told me I was caught speeding, and he also explained to me it is illegal to use my bike rack to block the license plate. I was so embarrassed. I wanted to squirm and hide under my steering wheel. I thought not only I would be late for church, but I would be seen by church members going to and from the church, you know, on White Mud watching me getting ticketed. Oh, man. So to make a long story short, the nice cop, he came and gave me just one ticket for speeding and warned me to remove the bike rack. After that, I came to church shaken, but with a thankful heart. I learned my lesson. I know that God loves me. He's interested in turning my life around to be more like His Son, obedient, wise, and humble. So the following week, I removed the bike rack, put in the basement, and I confess to my brother I brag about the week before. God is so interested in our lives to make us more like Jesus. Recently, I went to Starbucks with a good friend who wants to know more about God. He asked me many questions, and we had some animated discussions over 2 hours. Next morning, in my quiet time, I recalled something he said that was so profound. He asked, "Now, Jesus is resurrected in the past. The promise of him coming in the future. But where is God now? To show that he exists, where is God now?" He really have a profound question. He wanted to know if God exists now. What is he doing with his friend David, just sitting across his table? He also wanted to ask for himself, if God is real right now, what can he do for me? When adversity comes, when affliction shows daily up at work, at school, and at home, how do we respond that is so different from that of non-believers? I have a video clip of Michelle, wife of Nabil Karachi, to show you. Just 4 minutes. Let me give you a short intro. Nabil was a devout Pakistani Muslim in the U.S. He was converted to Christianity after years of struggle alongside a Christian friend. Since then, he became a Christian apologist, defending faith in many arenas. He was married to Michelle and has a young girl, Aya. Recently, unfortunately, he was diagnosed with late-stage stomach cancer. He lived for a year and died last September at age 34. His wife, Michelle, does a regular block after his death, and this was 3 months ago, so have a look. So, by the way, ladies, please get ready with your clinics for the guys next to you. I enjoy listening to Laugh Again, daily podcast by Christian humorist Phil Calloway. He told a story in his book about his son, Stephen. One sleepy Sunday afternoon when Stephen was 5 years old, we drove past a graveyard within our neighborhood that is in Three Hills, Alberta. Noticing a large pile of dirt beside a newly excavated tomb, Stephen pointed and said in the most amazing and perceptive thing, "Look, Dad, one got out." Phil Calloway continues, "I laugh, but the more I think about it, the more I hang on to his word. You see, every time I pass a graveyard, when I see a cross in a church, I'm reminded of these three words, one got out. Death could not keep us safe in the ground. Christ Jesus, the one exception to the rule, broke the chains of death, rose from the dead, and promised eternity with him. One day soon, these arms will spread wide. Once again, welcome us home." Friends, brothers, and sisters, let these thoughts fill your hearts with overflowing joy. Let them transform the way you see adversity. Let our minds be renewed by his unconditional love. Will we let him? Let's have a word of prayer. Father God, may you speak to us through this passage. Allow us to understand your great love for us is more than anything. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.